All right, our first point will be a calling. A calling. And the second point is a conflict. A conflict. And finally, a choice. What do we see in the scripture? It says, and the days of Terah were 205 years. Wow, can you imagine living that long? And Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So that was the calling. The calling was, we have 3 points under the calling, a clean break. A clear message. And a calling holy. A calling holy. So Abraham had a calling. Remember, this is the man of faith. Remember this idea that he was a man of faith, a man that we ought to model our lives after. He didn't get a call from his father saying, I think you should get thee out of this place and you should find a territory all of your own because you're going to be a great man and you're going to need more room than there is here in Mesopotamia. So, Abraham, go on out. No, it wasn't from his earthly father. It was from his heavenly father. There is a hint that his life is a life of faith because he's not looking at the things around him to determine his direction. But he's got an ear for God. Abraham has an ear for God. And because he evidently has a regular time, probably, with the Lord, he was sensitive enough, his spirit was sensitive enough to hear God call him out. Maybe there were some circumstances God put him in, and he read those circumstances as God's calling to leave his kindred and his country. But God called him to make a clean break. He says, from thy kindred and from thy country. He had to leave. So we could say that's what the clean break is, from his kindred and from his country. When I look at Abraham's life this way, I see a parallel in my own life. And I think each Christian can also see this parallel. When you come to a place where you have gained a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your life changes. You have a new calling on your life. God calls you away from the world that you've lived in. And maybe even from your acquaintances and from your kindred and from your friends to a certain extent. Life changes. And so there's a parallel here of Abraham being called out and us also as we, as believers, hear God's voice. He calls us to a different standard of life and he calls us away from the world that we've been living in, the kind of things that we've participated in, the kind of mindset that we've had, the very way that we think we're called away from the very way that we think, the way that we act. Definitely the kind of attitudes that we have and the kind of focus that we have. All of these things a person is called away from when they become a new creature, when they're made new, and God's Spirit comes into their heart. They're regenerated. And now they have the captain of their soul in charge. And he says, no, this isn't the way that a holy God wants his child to live. You need to come away from these things. You need to now no longer participate in these things because these are not the right things to be involved in. And by the way, I have a ministry for you. So I'm going to start leading you away from these things and start directing you towards some other things. So we can see a parallel here in Abraham's life that he had to make a clean break from his surroundings. He had a clear message also that he wasn't supposed to get his map out. Does it say anything in here about, and Abraham then charted his way to Canaan? And then Abraham took counsel with the elders and decided that he should land in the land of Canaan. No, what it says is it says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. That I will show you. Here's another example of the life of faith. The way that Abraham is going to find his destination is by having an ear to listen to God. God doesn't tell him right there, okay, I want you to go to the land of Canaan. He says, get thee out and head out. Start going. And I will show you where that place is. So that's the clear message, is that he needs to listen to God. He needs to have an ear for God. His navigation system, his mode of operation, his MO is an ear for God. He needs to listen to what God is going to tell him. He needs to have his ear to the spiritual ground, so to say, to hear what the Lord is telling him. How is it that we can learn what God's direction is for us? Is it something mystic that we kind of, you know, bow our heads and then we figure out what the Lord wants us to do? The Lord has given us some real clear things on a way to understand his will. He's given us the whole counsel of God right in this book here. Remember the 66 books that have been written by people that were moved by the Holy Spirit. And God told them to write these particular books. And then at the end, in Revelation, it says, if anybody adds to these books, I will add to the plagues that are herein in this book of Revelation. If anybody takes away from this book the counsel and the words of this book, I will take his name out of the book of life. Those are serious consequences. Based on that scripture, I think we have the whole canon. We have the whole work of God right here. And that we can look into God's word, and as we learn God's word, we learn who God is. And we learn his heart. And we learn what he desires, and what he loves, and what he hates. And as we learn God's word, then we also start to understand our direction. Because he will give us a rhema, as we may call it, as the scripture talks about, a daily bread. As you open up your scripture and you look into God's word for the day, you may, as a Christian, find that he will put light around a particular verse. And you'll go, huh, I've never seen that verse like that before. And this really makes sense with where I'm at in my life right now. I need that word of God today. This is my daily bread. That's what a rhema is God puts his light on the scripture for us. And one individual will have one rhema. Another individual will have another rhema, because God ministers to each one of us as individuals. That's why it's important for each one of us to have that individual relationship, because we cannot be being pulled along by the coattails of another Christian. We've got to get that counsel from the Lord ourselves. And it's his design. He wants to show us. The mode of operation is that we need to have an ear for God. Each one of us as an individual needs to have an ear for God. You shouldn't just come to church to hear a message and then go home for the rest of the week and wait for that next message. No, you should be digging in that scripture and desiring that rhema, that daily bread for your life each day. Then when you come back to church, you can give a testimony on what the Lord has been doing in your life, what you've been learning in the Scripture. Then you edify the church. The church is edified because now you have rhemas to share and to build up the body of Christ with. So we have a clean break from this world, from this age, from the mode of operation of this world. We have to come away from the way of this world, and we need to go to Christ. So it's a two-part thing. So I'm calling this, I've called this the what, a calling, and these two the how. A clean break and a clear message. The how is we have to come away. You could call that repentance. You could probably put the word repentance. You need to turn around. You need to come away from this world. And then you need to walk towards God. You need to draw nigh unto Him. That's the mode of operation of a Christian. It's two parts. To depart from this age and to turn to God. And if you only do one of them, of those two things, you'll have troubles. Because if you're still involved in this age and want to still be involved in God, you will be a lukewarm Christian. You won't be useful because you'll have your life in this world and in God, and you won't be able to be committed to either lifestyle. You will end up being split right down the middle in your spirit and in your conscience, and you'll be very mixed up. And so I'd suggest, as a Christian, make that clear and clean break from the world and get an ear for God, and things will clear up. Things will start making sense. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's His goal for us. We shouldn't be mixed up as Christians. We should have the clear calling. We should have the clear understanding of our direction. If we're confused, it's probably because somewhere along the way we've made a compromise. We've said, I need to hang on to this thing. I need to hang on to this pet idea of mine. It may not be the Lord's at all. And that will be a confusing thing in your life. Okay, and so then we have a calling holy. So we have the what, the how, and the why is a calling holy. Why? Because the Lord wants us to be a special people. Right? The Lord is gathering out of the world a special people for Himself. He's doing it in the life of Abraham, and He wants to do it in our lives. And beyond that, He wants to do it in the lives of this community. And as we get with the program, if you will, of what God wants us to do, we'll start to have a desire for this community around us. For them also to be called out, to be separate, to be holy, and to be a part of that special people, that peculiar people, it says in the Scripture, a holy nation, a peculiar people, elect, called out, chosen from God. All right, let's move on to our next point then. So here we had a calling, a clean break, a clear message, and a calling, holy. But there's a conflict here. There's a problem that happens along the way. And that takes form in the character of Lot. So we'll say a character. Lot is the character. If you recall, it says, get out from thy country and from thy kindred. Well, the question should come in your mind, why is Lot there? Why? Because Lot is the son of Abraham's brother. So his nephew. He's coming along with him. And you read that in the Scripture and you say, well, wait a second, we go back here, get thee out from thy country and thy kindred, and thy kindred. But Lot is here. Now, we don't know what exactly happened there. Maybe Lot just You know, maybe Abraham said, no, I need to go by myself. And Lot wouldn't hear it and said, no, I want to follow thee. His intentions may have actually been very good. We read in the scripture that in the halls of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, that it had something good to say about Lot. When you read the scriptures about Lot, your conclusion may be, oh, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a believer. That's not the way the New Testament looks at Lot. It says his righteous heart was vexed. Sodom and Gomorrah vexed that man. And it wasn't his desire. Remember the story about Lot when he's in Sodom. And he's saying, oh, men, please don't act wickedly. It wasn't his desire to be wicked as those wicked men. But yet, somehow, he was caught in it, wasn't he? Hopefully we'll be able to tease some of this out here. So, but there was the character Lot, and there was a controversy. The controversy. A controversy with the herdsmen. As you come into the land of Canaan, right down the center of the promised land, there's a mountain range. As you go towards the Mediterranean coast, of course it goes down as you meet the Mediterranean Sea, and there's a plain area there. Now that area of the plain has always been inhabited quite a bit of the time. And it's been inhabited by forces, we'll say. Kingdoms. And then if you go to the other side of the mountain range, you go into the Jordan Valley. And that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's a well-watered, it explains it in the scripture as the well-watered plain. Two places that kingdoms of that time took hold of and dwelt there. Was that where Abraham went? No, he went up into the mountain area, the mountainous area. Jerusalem is in the midst of the mountainous area. And it's a rugged area. It's not a nice, easy place to get through, to travel through. It takes quite a bit to travel through the area. Bethlehem, to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem it's very mountainous. It's interesting. This is where God called Abraham to. Wasn't necessarily the place that you would go to and say, this is where I'm going to be establishing myself and this is where I'm going to prosper. It doesn't necessarily fit from a human standpoint or from a physical standpoint, but that's where Abraham was. And that's where God called Abraham to. Well, so here Abraham and Lot are in this mountainous country, and their cattle are grazing on the hillsides. And they start to fight. They say, this is my hill. This is my valley. You take yours over the mountain on the other side of the valley. And there started to be a strife, and there started to be a friction among the herdsmen. There wasn't enough land for these two wealthy men. It says they had become wealthy and they had gained many cattle and had become prosperous in the land. God had prospered him. Well, I don't imagine this was a really happy thought for Abraham to find out that now his kindred, Lot, and he were having trouble because their herdsmen were not getting along with each other. But it wasn't God's plan, I don't believe, originally for Lot to be there. The problem probably wouldn't have been there if Lot wasn't there. But such is life. You will find as you go through life, there will be things that will happen that you may not even be able to avoid. And they may be with your relatives. And they may be with very close people to you. And it's not for us to just shun them off and speak evil to them. and to continue in strife. And this, in fact, is Abraham's attitude, is that he doesn't want to have any kind of strife with Lot. And then our last point under the conflict is a clue. A clue. And this is looking forward a little bit, actually, into the next point. Where does Lot want to go? Where does Lot end up? Anybody? Where does Lot end up after this conflict? He ends up down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because it's a nice place. It looks like a nice place. And it's a big city. Yeah, you know, they could probably get anything they need down there. They could get, you know, some of the amenities of a high culture in a low place. Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they set their eyes on that and said, oh, our cattle will do well down there. I put this down as a clue. Because I'm wondering if Abraham and Lot had the same calling to begin with. Abraham was not going to a city. He was going to the place that the Lord would show him. I'd like to take us back to the pilgrimage of this nation. As I've read about it, I know there's been different pilgrimages over to this country, but two cases are people that came over here to begin with had the idea of getting a pot of gold, that they would find great riches over here. So their idea was that they were going to come over here and grab up wealth, and then they were going to be able to become wealthy people. They were going to get their inheritance. They were going to come over by ship. They were going to grab up this wealth, and then they were going to establish themselves and become great people. The problem was there was no gold on the eastern coast of the United States. There was down like in Central America and South America area. In that area, they did find gold down there, but not along this coastline here of the United States. But they did learn that they could make tobacco, and after many, many failures, part of the pilgrimage that came over here established the tobacco plantations, but not without failure after failure, because they came over with the wrong motive. They came over into a rough land, an uncharted, really, area that was inhabited by the natives of the country who were not established in a high culture or anything. They knew how to live off the land, and these people that came over didn't know how to live off the land. They didn't know how to survive this land. And so when they came over on the ships, they would have this common disease that would hit them. After they had been on this ship for months, they would get sick once they would come over here, and they'd have to endure a winter besides being sick. And for the most part, ship after ship that came with this pot of gold idea died. Maybe a tenth of them would live for 1 year. In other words, they'd tabulate. They'd say, after 1 year, this group, this gathering, a tenth of them survived. Then this gathering came over, a tenth of those survived. But there was a group that came over with a different purpose, the separatists, who had established them already in a church and in a body of believers. They came over with a different goal. They came over with the goal to create a church in this new land, and to be a witness, and to be a light, like a lighthouse, to this new land. They didn't come over for the pot of gold. They came over for the purpose to create a Christian nation. And they were also escaping the rule of England, which was saying that they couldn't freely worship the way that they wanted to worship. So they wanted to create a new model for what Christianity should be about, over here in the United States. That's the pilgrims. That's what we celebrate when we have Thanksgiving. We're celebrating that group of separatists that came over as pilgrims and survived. Why did they survive? Because they cared for one another in their sicknesses. They didn't just turn away like the other people. When one would get sick, they'd say, well, the strong shall survive. No, they cared for the weak and the sick, and they worked hard to plant their crops and to work together, not just for their own part, but for the part of the community. How many died the first winter? Half of them. Not 9/10 of them, half of them died. And then that community, that colony started to build up. And that became the model then for the Puritans that then came in droves in comparison to that first pilgrim colony. And they learned from the way that these pilgrims lived how that they ought to pattern their lives. So here we have it. I think Abraham had a different mode of operation than Lot. Did Lot come over maybe for a pot of gold? I don't know for sure. He did have a righteous heart, it says in the scripture. One other thing I thought of is that who was it that looked back when they had to flee Sodom and Gomorrah? It was Lot's wife. Maybe she was whispering in Lot's ear, let's go to Sodom. It's a great place down there. Well, maybe Lot really didn't want to go down there, because we also see in the scripture that he feared Sodom and Gomorrah after the destruction of it. And he didn't even want to go to any city. He wanted to go up and live in the caves, and so he did. And that wrought more problems because he acted out of fear. So I think if we're being called, make sure it's a holy calling. Because you may not only cause yourself great grief, but you may cause other people grief as well. We have a clue in the scripture here that Lot's motive may have been different. His mode of operation may have been different. Let's move on to that last point here because we're running out of time. A choice. Abraham is very cordial. I think that's probably the right word. That's the first point. He's cordial. What does he say to Lot? He says, Lot, look up. Look at the land about you. I want you to choose. Where do you want to go? If you go to the left and you say, hey, this looks to the right, to the left, then I'll go right. If you look to the right and you say, this looks nice, this is where I want to go, I'll go to the left. He was cordial. He was kind to his relation. And he dealt wisely with Lot. Also, remember, Abraham, I think, was not looking for a particular country or place. It says he was looking for the place where its builder and maker was God. So he was looking for a heavenly place, not so much related to a physical place, like maybe Lot was looking with his eyes. Abraham was seen with some different eyes. And then there was a choosing. Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he departed and left Abraham, and the strife ceased. Abraham was wise. He dealt with this very wise, with the least amount of strife, with the least amount of rift being caused. He was able to create peace where there was no peace. And Lot and his family went to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's maybe where they wanted to go. That was not where Abraham's heart was. That was not, because right after there, it says that Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's the first hint that we have. And so Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked place. Look in your scripture there. It says, right after they departed for Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, and Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked place. Maybe we can open our scriptures here to Genesis chapter 13 for our conclusion. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. That's that area that I was talking about, the mountainous area. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Here is an interesting thing. Right after, I would like to say this whole operation here, this whole operation, mode of operation of Abraham was done in faith. Look at what the Lord says right after this. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Forever. That's incredible. That's saying, you know, in that language is saying even more pointedly than from generation to generation. Forever just means eternity that way, you know, it just keeps going. And so this is the answer that comes out of this faith, is that Abraham's God now says to him, now I will bless you. Now we've got things set up the right way according to the original calling. You've made the clean break. All of these things have been satisfied from thy kindred, from thy country. You're listening to me. Now I'm going to bless you. Now the plan is going to go forward. I believe that same plan, that same methodology will work in our own life. If we're able to make the clean break from this age and deal with the particulars, like right here with Lot, the situation with Lot. Abraham had to go rescue Lot once down in Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. And he did that. He loved Lot. And his army was stronger than combined kings of those kingdoms, who was able to rout them. Abraham was a powerful man in God's hands. God is able to use us powerfully. Don't doubt what God can do with you if you'll lend him your ear and listen to him and follow him. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this example. Abraham, our father of faith, teaches us how to believe, how to trust in you when the apparent around us doesn't make sense. Lord, you call us to believe in the transparent, the things that are unseen. You call us, Lord, to a different, to a holy calling, not necessarily the calling or the understanding of the people or nations around us. Help us, Lord, to do this. Help us, Lord, to call your word holy and to treasure it as better than gold and silver. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless us in this next hour also in the sanctuary, and bless us this day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.